You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. This will not be in the downloaded notes. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. How amazing was worship this morning? Jeez. Verse 16 says this, "Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, 'Oh my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else in the house, only the two of us were in the house. And the woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And then she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, your servant slept, and laid him on her breast, and then took the dead son at my breast. When I arose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, the child was not mine.'" Verse 22, "But the other woman said, 'No, the living child is mine, the dead child is hers.' The first said, 'No, the dead child is yours, the living child is mine.' Thus they spoke before the king." Verse 23, "Then the king said, 'The one that says, this is my son, that is alive, your son is dead. And the other says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So a sword was brought out before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child into two and give half to one and half to the other.'" Look at verse 26. "Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, 'Oh my Lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death.' But the other said, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him.' The king answered, 'Give the living child to the first woman, by no means put him to death. She is the mother." The title of this message this morning is Stewarding a Word from God. A prophetic word isn't a guarantee, but it's an invitation to participate with the perfect will of God. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we just declare, this is your church. And I love being in it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we just say, have your way. We don't make room for you, Holy Spirit. We give you the entire room. So I thank you for what you're gonna speak today. I pray right now you would give us ears to hear. I pray that you would give us minds to understand, hearts to receive what your Spirit is saying. Lord, we declare that no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this room. We declare fear, anxiety, depression. We declare infirmity. You have to go. Spirit of offense, you have to go, because the Holy Spirit is here in this place. Lord, I declare right now, no one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's words, all God's people said, amen. 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 This morning is going to be a very practical message. I got a lot of practical advice for you this morning. And this morning I'm teaching on stewarding a word from God. We at Mercy Culture, we describe ourselves as an apostolic and prophetic church. What do we mean by that? According to scripture, the church is built on Jesus as the cornerstone, but it's built on the apostles and the prophets. What does that mean? It means that there's a structure in how a church should be built and function. But today in America, most churches are ran by teachers or pastors. And so the apostolic or the prophetic gift is become rare because the church isn't functioning in the order that it should. And so at Mercy Culture, we describe ourselves as an apostolic and prophetic church. We have apostolic elders, we have prophetic voices that come in on a regular basis. Prophetic ministry is frequent and normal at Mercy Culture Church. Prophetic words come all the time. The prophecy is contagious. When you're in a prophetic atmosphere, it just happens. We have one of our serve team members, Clay and Lindsay Ingram. They oversee groups ministry. And if you want to lead a group, and you better sign up quick online at Mercy Culture, because they're closing up real fast. But Clay was ministering at our men's night here about a year ago when we were still in high school. And I said to him, I said, get ready because the spirit of prophecy might just come and rest on you. And he's like, oh, I don't prophesy. That's never happened to me before. I was like, well, it doesn't matter if it's never happened to you. We're a prophetic house and wait what happens when you stand on the pulpit. And then sure enough, he was there, just starts prophesying over men and marriages at the men's night. And so it's a normal thing that happens in this house. In fact, about 3 weeks ago, there was a young man sitting right about there. A spirit of prophecy fell on the house. I started prophesying over him. And so it's a normal thing that happens. So what do you do when you get a prophetic word? This morning, I'm going to teach on that. It's so important that you learn how to steward or manage prophetic words. I almost entitled this stewarding a prophetic word, but I entitled it stewarding a word because so many times we put an emphasis on prophecy when we should put the emphasis on just hearing from God. Because when you start talking about prophecy or the prophetic, that's where people can get weird or where they don't understand. Or people could begin to take advantage or manipulate or even shrink back at times because they're just unfamiliar. So I'm going to teach about it. But the real focus is stewarding anything that God says or speaks. I learned this pretty quickly as a year and a half pastor. And before we started this church, I was an evangelist. I'd describe myself a prophetic evangelist. And almost 18 years of ministry experience, that Heather and I would go and travel and minister around the world, and we'd go and preach and minister and prophesy and then go home. And it was up to them to steward those prophetic words. And then we became a pastor. And God spoke to us at the elders retreat last May that 2020 was going to be a year of altars, and that people had set up altars of Baal in their home and they need to be torn down and altars to him built in people's home. Little did we know that COVID would happen, and for a period of time, the only altar that you would have available was the altar in your home. Another moment of training was the elders went away to pray on our fall winter retreat. And one of the things he told us was to go to two services in January of 2020. So we started preparing the team. And then all of a sudden we get a brand new miracle building that seats 2,000 people in the sanctuary, 170,000 square feet on 17 and a half acres. And we're like, sweet, we don't have to go to two services. We got a big building now. Until we had the first Sunday in January, and every parking spot in this entire place was full, and we were turning away kids and children because we didn't have room for it. And I sat there on the front row getting the report, and I said, oh no, the Lord warned us. He didn't say go to two services in January unless you get a new building. He said go to two services in January. So I repented on the front row and I was like, sweet, we got 3 weeks to get us to go to two services in January to stay in obedience. So I'm aware the Lord's already spoke to us about 2021 and the prophetic word over this house in 2021. You want to hear it? I'll tell you in January. I'm praying over it right now. I'm praying over it right now. I'm stewarding it right now. Let me give you some biblical terms that we hear in church, and if you're new to the Spirit-led community or even new to your walk with Jesus, you might not be familiar with these terms. And so what do we mean when I say prophecy? I mean men communicating a divine message from God that foretells or reveals the future, to speak a new message from God to God's people, to speak on God's behalf or the delivery of that word or message. I just want to throw a caveat in there, and it's not done for money, because you're a fortune teller if you do it for money. What is a prophet? That word prophet in the Hebrew is the word nabi, which means a spokesman, a speaker, or a seer. What does the prophetic mean when we say prophetic? It means this, that you have an occasional prophecy, or you operate occasionally under that anointing, but not in that office. When I say presbytery, what do I mean by presbytery? Presbytery is an organized, orderly, prophetic ministry or service. We get this from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where multiple prophets come in the room and they prophesy and judge over individuals. Presbytery, some people call it presbytery, but in mercy culture, we will never call it presbytery. It will be called presbytery, just to get it all together, okay? Now, what's the difference between a prophet or someone who operates in the office of a prophet and someone that's just prophetic? Prophets operate in the fivefold ministry office that Ephesians teaches us, Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4. They are used to speak to kings, to rulers, to cities and nation. Their job is to align God's people with God's heart. Prophetic people are used from time to time to bring a message from the Lord to individuals. I touched on this last week in my message on the spirit of offense. And if you did not watch that or hear that, go to the YouTube or the Facebook and make sure you listen to that. It's a timely word for this season. But I mentioned that there's a difference between a false prophet and prophetic people. And so many times people say, you know, they get it wrong or miss something. And they're like, oh, you're a false prophet. You're not a false prophet. You are an immature prophetic voice, or you are a growing prophetic voice. But I'd ask the question is where do people have opportunity to grow in their prophetic gift if we don't teach them in the church? Well, if you have a church that's built on the pastor and the teacher and not the apostle and the prophet, then the pastor and the teacher don't have the ability to impart that. And so what happens is they keep all the prophetic people at arm's length because prophetic people are weird. So I got no problem with prophetic people. I'm one of them, okay? And I say, you know, we embrace your quirkiness and we will help bring order to your life. But what happens is they end up pushing them out of the church, and then they go find a hotel or something else to operate in the gift, but out from the authority of the house. So we want God to be speaking. We want God to be moving. What's a false prophet? A false prophet is someone that is derived by devils to deceive people. Their intent is to deceive. Big difference between a false prophet and an immature prophetic voice. I'm gonna give you three things about prophecy. But first, let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says this: I would love that everyone would prophesy. Would you say everyone? Can you say that a little louder? Everyone. For the people that have been talked out of it by someone online, could you just say everyone a little louder? Everyone. Would you do me a favor? Would you stop picking which gifts of the Spirit are not for you? And just because you don't do it yet, doesn't mean it's not for you. I would that everyone would prophesy, pursue love, or make love your goal. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in tongues speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the spirit. That word mysteries in the spirit means the secrets of God, the truths that are revealed through intimacy. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. Those who speaks in tongues build up themselves, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Look at this, verse 5. Are you looking? Is it up on the screen? Are you looking? You're looking? Okay. I want you all to speak in tongues. I'm going to read that again. I want you all to speak in tongues. How many want to know what that means in the Greek? All of you. But even more to prophesy. For the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless interprets, so the church may be built up. The Passion's translation says this: prophecy is to encourage people, to build them up and bring them comfort. The purpose of prophecy is to align God's people with God's heart. It's to align them in the perfect will of God. Listen, to be a prophet does not mean that you're just really angry. If you walk around and you're really angry, you might just be a jerk, not a prophet. And I don't know why, but only in the church does it fly. Like, the more anointing you are, the meaner you can be to people. I'm pretty sure Jesus was the anointed one, the most anointed person, all man, all God, whoever walked the face of the earth. And he's a pretty nice guy. Now listen, sometimes when you're prophetic, you confront people and they don't like hearing it. But you don't have to do that mean. You could do it kind. And even in prophetic warnings, the warnings are still merciful. Take the prophet Jonah. God said to Jonah, go preach judgment to ministry. Excuse me. Go preach judgment to Nineveh. Got it. Put it back. Watch, he didn't say go be judgmental to Nineveh. Go tell Nineveh that you're better than all of them, and they're all going to hell. He said, go preach judgment. Why? Because he intended mercy. So he preached judgment, they repented, and they were saved and spared. Because that was God's heart. Even in hard words, is because God's word, God's heart, his desire, his heart towards people is kindness. James 2:13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Three things about prophecy. Is this three things about prophecy or about prophetic work? Number one, God has a voice. Matthew 4:4, he answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Do you know most people need prophets because they haven't learned to hear God themselves? God has a voice and he wants to speak to you. I'm gonna say this gently, following the peace of God is a good start, but he has a voice. Did you hear what I said? It's a good start. That's good, following the peace of the Holy Spirit, but he has a voice and I want you to learn his voice. I got a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old boys. And my 5-year-old, we took him to Burger Lake a couple weeks ago. And my 5-year-old, I taught him how to swim at 2.5, 3 years old. And at 5, he's jumping off the 20-foot high dive at 5 years old. I mean, there's like grown men up there like holding on. And he's like to 20 feet, 5 years old. Over and over and over and over and over. It's awesome. I'm like, do a flip off it. Yeah. I'm a great dad. Hold on, let me get my camera. Okay. Then I got a 1-year-old. And where I'm at with the 1-year-old is I hold him under for about 5 seconds. Heather calls it abuse. I call it life training skills. When my kids turn 1 year old, we throw a birthday party and I grab them and jump in the pool and completely submerge and come up. They come up. Heather's like, oh my God. And I'm like, it's good for him. Builds character. So I got my 1-year-old who's now holding his breath for about 5 seconds. And that's good. But he's got more to learn. Following the peace is good, but you have more to learn. God has a voice. Do you know how to hear his voice? When you become a member of Mercy Culture, you go through what we call MC Connect. And we give you a connect with God. And we give you a personal ministry plan. And a part of that personal ministry plan at the end, every single day, we encourage the members of this church to have a time with the Lord and pray, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. To take a moment in time to spend with God and ask him to speak to you and to listen to what he says. And here's the beautiful thing is if you do this every single day, you start getting used to expecting God to hear from you. Number two, just a few things about prophecy. Women can prophesy. Can I get an amen from someone besides Dom? Amen. Acts 2:17, in the last days it shall be God declared that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh and your sons and daughters will prophesy. There was a lot of prophetesses in the Bible. Miriam spoke for God, Exodus chapter 15. Deborah was a judge and a prophetess, Judges 4. Huldah in 2 Kings, Anna, Luke 2, Phoebe, Acts 16. The 4 daughters of Philip in Acts 21, just to name a few. And you go get the notes and read those on your own. So here's my question. It's just because people take one scripture out of context for women to be silent in the church. Let me ask you this question. How did all of these women prophesy then? So the church of Corinth was a disaster. Women were talking in the services. People were prophesying in tongues without interpretation. It was just absolute chaos. And Paul comes to bring order to all of it. Mind you, that the pastors were sleeping with everybody. I really want to make a joke right now, but I'm going to contain myself. So absolute chaos, and Paul's bringing order, but a bunch of religious men want to take one scripture out of context. So tell me, how did all of these women prophesy? They would go outside the church, give their prophetic words, and then come back in and be silent? Just gonna leave that right there. I'm not talking about women ministry today, but it is a unique characteristic of Mercy Culture. Holler at your boy. Number three. For the super religious, children can prophesy. Acts 2:17, same scriptures. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. The first time my daughter Peyton prophesied, what was she, 2.5, 3 years old, Heather? Three. Peyton was 3 years old. Now, we're not one of these parents that are like, you know, our kids can swim. They're exaggerating. Here's the true story. Heather and I were in Austin. We lived in Phoenix. We're in Austin. And we're driving in Austin. Peyton's in the back seat, 3 years old. And she says, I want my house here. And the moment she said, I want my house here, my spirit kicked. I felt a leap in my spirit. I turned to Heather. I said, I think we're supposed to move here. She goes, I felt the same thing. We went home, and 60 days later, we lived here in Texas. Because my daughter spoke a word from God that made our spirits leap. Now, how many saw the video of Mercy Culture 2 years ago when we started in our team nights about the church that we're planting? Wave your hand at me like this if you saw that video, okay? And how many joined the church when you felt the kick in your spirit that I talked about at the end of the video? Wave your hand like this, okay? So literally hundreds of people felt a kick in their spirit. Some people moved from all over the country and ascended to Fort Worth to be a part of Mercy Culture Church because they felt a kick. Do you know where I learned about the kick? My three-year-old daughter taught me about the kick when she prophesied. I learned how to prophesy in children's ministry. You know what we're doing over at MC Kids? We're teaching kids how to prophesy. You know what we're doing at Calvary Christian Academy? Teaching kids how to be led by the Spirit, how to connect with God. I don't know what the rest of the schools are doing, but Calvary Christian Academy's opening up. Children can prophesy. You got a prophetic gift? Go use it in kids' ministry. I learned how to prophesy. I remember vividly prophesying over kids. So crazy, just small world. I don't know if Pastor Abe and Ryan are in the building. They're around somewhere serving. Are they here? Okay. So Pastor Abe and Ryan's, Pastor Abe's sister, his little sister, was like a 10-year-old in my first children's church ever. She was like 10 years old, and I was, I think, 16 or 17 when I was doing this. And she messaged me about 15 years ago and said, I'm leading worship and doing what you prophesied over my life, and I encountered God as a little girl, and now I'm in that living in that destiny. And now her brother and sister-in-law are our care pastors here at Mercy Culture. That's all started with prophetic ministry. How amazing is that? Your sons and your daughters can prophesy. We're talking about how to steward a word from God. So how do I steward? How do I receive a word of God? Someone can throw you something, but if you don't catch it, if you don't receive it, it doesn't matter. So how do you receive a word from God? Number one, expect God to speak. John 16:12, Jesus said, I still have much to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. However, the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you what is to come. God still has more to say. And God's word will confirm what he wants to say. But God has more to say to you. I say this all the time at Mercy Culture. We're called to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit the same way the disciples were in relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said, I have more to tell you. And the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. Listen, expect to hear from God. If you want to receive a word, expect one. Every time you walk in these doors, expect one. If it's in the parking lot or MC Connect or when you're picking up your kid or from the pulpit or in worship or wherever you are, expect. God is going to speak to me today. Amen? Number two, be open. Be open to God speaking in different ways. And be open to it no matter who or how it comes. In Numbers chapter 22, God spoke to a prophet who wasn't listening to God through his donkey. And the prophet was so used to God speaking to him, he stopped listening. So God had his donkey deliver a message to him. It's amazing that we determine, okay, God could speak to me, but only from Pastor Landon after the 9 o'clock service because he's less anointed at the 11:30. There's like 10 awesome prayer team members on fire, spirit-filled, trained, ready to minister. Nope. Has to be Landon. No, we determine in our heart who can minister. It's funny, we had a prophetic conference one time, and this lady emailed me afterwards, and she's like, the true prophet didn't get enough prophecy time. The rest of you are immature prophets. And the real mature prophet, I was like, you mean the mature prophet that a scandal just broke out about 2 months ago? That prophet? And the one she had to have a word from drove all night to just touch the sweat of his brow. Now listen, I'm all about honoring, respecting men in God. That's awesome. But guess what? In your daily personal time, the Holy Spirit can tell you the same thing they might tell you. I'm not saying dishonor gifts. I'm not saying dishonor people that minister. But I'm saying, why are you looking to them to get what the Father has for you just in your quiet time? I'm gonna get up. Number three, pray into it. You get a word, pray into it. Can I give you some practical advice? Do not go to the person who gave you a prophetic word and ask for clarity. Don't do that. It creates awkwardness for you, for them, for all of it. People all the time come to me, hey, you remember when you said? No. No, but that one time, you remember what you said? I don't remember. Do you remember me? No. Just being honest, just was prophesying. Just was prophesying, I have no idea. Give you a funny, hilarious story. So one time I'm ministering, and I see this guy in the back, and I think it's this pastor I know. And I just started giving this pastor this prophetic word. And then afterwards, I went up to go say hi to him, and it was a different guy. It wasn't that pastor. So you know what I did? I didn't pretend. I missed it. I didn't pretend like, oh, yeah, it was really for you. That's what I meant. No, I went. Next time I got up to preach, I apologized to the church. I said, hey, I that guy wasn't him. I was, it was for this other pastor. And I called the pastor. I said, hey, this is what I heard the Lord say on that service. Just want to give it to you. Take a breath. Breathe out. Relax. Everyone's going to miss. Everyone's going to be off at times. Be open. Pray into it. Number four, you ready for this one? Millennials will hate this. Judge them. Judge the word. 1 Corinthians 14:29. This is the presbytery, not presbytery, presbytery. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge or watch, weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that you may learn and be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. Can I tell you what that means? Verse 32 right there. It means the spirit of the Lord does not come upon you and you interrupt our church service and start prophesying. Because the spirit of the Lord will come over our ushers and have them remove you. So if you get up and my little children us, then we're going to have to see you in another direction. And here's why. It's because we're not looking for some rogue prophet that's not submitted anywhere, that has no relationship, to come and tell us what God says. We seek God every day. But if you're a part of this community and God's speaking to you, yeah, we're open for you to submitting what God says in an orderly fashion. Because when you are a prophetic house, how many felt that freedom in worship today? Okay, when you're in a prophetic house, what? There's freedom in that house. So why there's freedom, it's wonderful, but we're going to teach order why we do it. Judge them. What does it mean? Judge biblically, not critically. Let me tell you what judging a prophetic word is. That's not God. What, did you even listen? Did you think about it? Did you pray into it? Did you contemplate it? Here's what judging means biblically. It means to separate, to distinguish one from another, to make distinction, to thoroughly go back and forth, to investigate. It says this, to refer to close reasonings. It means this, that you weigh it. Does this feel right? Let me give you some practical advice. A prophetic word will not say something new that you've never heard before, or does it bear witness with something in your spirit? A true prophetic word will always bear witness with what God is telling you, and it's like, yes, that's confirmation. So if God has been speaking to you to go left and someone that you don't have relationship prophesies for you to go right, that's when you judge it. In that moment, you have to weigh the word. Practical advice. Write down prophetic words. If anyone tries to give me a prophetic word, I always ask them to write it down. And I do this as a spiritual leader because so many people give me words. And so if it's not worth their time writing down, it's not worth my time reading. The other thing it does is it creates accountability. So that person is accountable. Second thing it does is it allows me to weigh it. Is this God? Do I believe this is God? The other thing it does is it documents what God says. That's the exciting part. So we purchased this facility in December, and we moved in the end of December, and we moved in one of the longtime faithful members and employees of Calvary Cathedral International, left this binder on the desk. And I think it was at Pastor Jasmine's office. And she walked in, and this was on her desk when she came into her office. It says this: there's no expiration date on God's word. These belong to Mercy Culture now. And you could see it's just pages and pages and pages of dozens and dozens and probably hundreds of prophetic words that were over this house, this property, and this region that they steward. Write them down, because it gives you something to go back to. We'll talk about that a little more later. Okay, how to give a prophetic word. I gotta hurry. How to give a prophetic word. Number one, how to give a prophetic word. You give it with humility. Practical advice: do not say, God told me. Say, I feel in my spirit. Why don't say, God told me? Because it puts a level of seriousness on it that doesn't need to be there yet. So if you say, God said, and you missed it, then you just use the Lord's name in vain. Using the Lord's name in vain isn't swearing with the Lord's name, even though that's not good. I don't recommend it as your pastor. Using the Lord's name in vain is accrediting to God what he did not say. And here's the thing, is if you just submit it, if you just say, I feel in my spirit, then they say, man, that's God. And you're like, sweet, I think that's God too. But you let them identify it. But if you say, this is a word from God, then it changes the dynamic of it. John Paul Jackson used to say to me all the time, don't tell people you're a prophet. If you're prophetic, they'll tell you. Jesus would go to a woman at the well. I say, you have five husbands. She's like, how'd you know that? You must be a prophet. I do have five husbands. This is awkward. He was just prophetic. Listen, you don't need a title of prophet in order to hear from God and obey him. The amen could have been louder. Praise the Lord. Amen. What do you do when a prophetic word is wrong? Just humble yourself and give it to God. If your word is wrong, apologize. Who do you apologize to? If it was one-on-one, apologize one-on-one. If you gave a prophetic word on Facebook, apologize to Facebook. Take ownership. Be humble. And if someone else gives you a word and it's wrong, what do? Just give it to God. He'll handle it. I remember my early days of ministry as 19 years old, probably too young to be doing this. And I was in Florida ministering, and there's about 300 kids at this youth conference. And I called a young man out of the back row. And the word was, I felt in my spirit that there was perversion from his father's side of his family that was coming to take him out and to take him from ministry. And the word went on, I don't remember the rest. And afterwards, the youth pastor came to me, and he was like, hey, I'm gonna need you to retract that word last night. Yeah, his dad and mom are pastors at our church. And, you know, I really felt like it was for the guy next to him. And I think you just missed it, true story. And I'm like, really? So I went back to my little camp cottage pea mattress. You know what I'm talking about? The waterproof mattresses thing. You know? So that's where I stayed. So I went back to my extravagant dwelling. And I asked the Lord, I said, did I miss you? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you didn't miss me, humble yourself. So I go back and I'm like, open up the next night. It's awesome. Hey guys, I just want to let you know that your leadership came and informed me that the prophetic word that I gave last night, they don't believe was accurate. And so I'm submitting to the authority of this house, and whatever they say goes, and I'm here as a guest. And so they asked me to retract that. And so I'm just letting you know that I'm submitting to the authority of the house. And I went on with my message. The guy that drove me to the airport said, hey, it's funny that you said perversion from his father's side. He said, you didn't say his father, you said his father's side. And his dad's dad was a pastor who fell of immorality with multiple women. And he said, I don't think the prophetic word was wrong. And I got to watch from a distance this young man that I gave this word to. And I watched perversion come and steal the call of God in ministry. And he's not in ministry today. I watched him give in to the perversion that the prophetic word warned him of. But because I responded in humility, that church invited me back multiple times over dozens of years, that I got to continue to speak into it and minister. You have to respond with humility. Number two, with faithfulness. Luke chapter 16, one who is faithful with very little is also faithful in much. If you want to grow in your ability to hear God or the prophetic, you have to be faithful with the little words that he gives you. Speaking of my daughter, it's funny. Heather and I heard from God. We did the fast, and we're transitioning to Fort Worth. But Heather, being just a protective, great mother that she is, she didn't want to pull Peyton out of school in mid-school year. So her plan was to wait to the end of school year and then move to Fort Worth. But I really felt like this unction, like we needed to get here. We need to start just taking ground and just be in the city and start praying. And so we were wrestling through with what we're going to do. And so we just said, hey, we're going to both go pray about it and just let's just ask the Lord. So she goes and picks up Peyton from school that day, and Peyton jumps in the car, and she's a first grader, jumps in the car, and she goes, why are we always talking about Fort Worth, and why don't we just move already? Out of the mouth of babes. And Heather's like, honey, you don't want to leave in the middle of school year and you'd miss all your friends. You don't want to do that, would you? And she's like, no, let's go. 30 days later, she was enrolled in Calvary Christian Academy, and we were rolling. Now, but watch. I wouldn't have even been here to hear God if I didn't listen to the first word when she was 3 years old to move to Texas. The little word to move to Texas that aligned our ministry here is what put me in the position to hear God when I was driving through Fort Worth for the first time. Listen, sometimes we make up these big things and we think that we have to have these awesome, huge, profound, life-changing words, but the life-changing words are in the simple words. They're in the little words. I'll give you a funny story. As I was learning this lesson, Heather and I were traveling and ministering, and we're at this youth conference, and she's just prophesying just detailed stuff, calling out kids. And this girl, I just saw you last night, and you were sitting on your bed and you were contemplating suicide. The girl's like, it was true. And she's like, but God says this and this, and she's prophesying all these cool words. And then she gives me the mic, and there's this older guy that was there. Probably he wasn't a teenager, so he's 30s or 40s or something. And so I go up to him, and I stand there, and I'm like, all right, let's wreck him. All right, God, what do you got for him? And I just hear, God's going to give you joy. So I'm like, Lord's going to give you joy. Get him, God. Hit him with the, come on, hit him with the nasty. Get him. Come on, knock him down. Here you go. Give him the word. Come on. Let the tears flow. Let him go. Nothing comes. I hear this. I'm going to give you joy back. I'm like, God's going to give you joy back. I'm waiting. Felt like I was leading worship at Mercy Culture. I mean, I just, nothing. Like, then it just got awkward. I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm just gonna back up. I turned away, I'm like, oh, Landon, you're a prophet. I'm going to give you joy back, profound revelation. I think I'm telling this guy, I'm going to give you happiness back. I literally turned away and thought to myself, that was the stupidest prophetic word you've ever given in your entire life. I get in the car, and the pastor starts hitting me. He goes, bro, you have no idea what you just said. I'm like, what, about Happy Boy? And he said, he's estranged from his wife, Joy. He came here to get her back. I knew that. That's what I was saying the whole time. You're welcome. But sometimes when we're in these prophetic moments, you have an opportunity that God's going to give you joy back. Sounds stupid to you. But it's the very thing they're believing God for. John Paul would say all the time, John Paul Jackson, prophet of the Lord, who mentored me for years, he would say this all the time. He would say, don't add to prophetic words. Don't worry about them not making sense to you. They're not for you. And do you know why most people don't prophesy? Because it's awkward and uncomfortable. You know it's God when you don't want to say it. When you can't wait to get the mic, I would argue it might not be God. But when you're like, oh, Lord, don't make me do that. Lord, don't make me say that. I just got here. He's going to think I'm weird. Don't make me do it. Those are the times where it's God. It's funny. Speaking of what you don't want to do, number three, prophesy with the fear of the Lord. Bring words with the fear of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3:6, then the Lord called to Samuel again. Samuel got up and went to Eli, who was the high priest. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli said. Go back and lie down. Samuel said, excuse me, verse 7, Samuel did not know the Lord because he had never heard a message from the Lord before. Verse 8, the Lord called a third time to Samuel. He went up to Eli and said, here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Or let me say it like this. Eli realized God wasn't speaking to him. Eli was the high priest. Sometimes I've wondered, did Eli really know the first time that God was speaking to Samuel? Or was he just hoping that God was going to speak to him? Don't know. Scripture doesn't reveal it. But after three repetitions, Eli realized, even though I'm in the office of priest, God is speaking to a boy because I haven't been listening. And I can promise you this. If you ignore the Holy Spirit long enough, he'll talk to someone else. Eli realized God wasn't speaking to him. We have to have the fear of the Lord on us. We have to value God speaking. Let me give you some practical advice. If you are new, and God gives you, you're new to prophetic ministry, to God speaking, to spirit-filled environment, and God is speaking to you, giving you a word for someone, and you're nervous about giving it, give it to someone who's spiritual first. So if God is speaking to you, and you're in a small group with someone this fall, go give it to the leader of the small group. Say, I feel like I got a word for this person. Let me just submit it to you. What do you think? That will help you hold on to the fear of the Lord. And then bounce it off them. And then maybe they go with you and you just give them, hey, I feel in my spirit, I just want to submit this. That's such a powerful word. Listen, I just want to submit this. What that does is it doesn't put you in an authoritative position over someone else. You just kindly, gently, softly submit it. Number four, you prophesy or deliver prophetic words with love. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a ringing gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, if I have absolute faith as far as to move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If you can prophesy, but you don't have love, you are nothing. I grew up in a pastor's home. And pastor's kids have unique experiences with church people. And this one guy didn't like me because I was the pastor's kid. And it was one of those awkward things where, you know, he came up to me. He's like, hey, I just want to let you know, I really don't like you and God's dealing with me. Thank you for that word. Appreciate your honesty. And he just wasn't kind to me. And rebellious and never fully submitted his heart to the Lord and was just always fighting God, fighting me, fighting people. And one time we're in a prophetic service and my dad called him out of the back row. I'm like, yes, get him. Give him that Elijah, call out bears out of the balcony, maul them, whatever you got to do, Lord, bring the fire, bring the wrath, bring the judgment. I'm literally on the edge of my seat. Get him. My dad starts prophesying. And with the Father's heart, brings such a kind, soothing, soft, loving word to align this young man's heart with the heart of the Father. If you want the prophetic word to reach them, you have to love them. Your one-liners on social media aren't reaching anyone. Your continuous love will. It's amazing. Pastor Matt Wakefield sitting on the second row, we roped a row off. And they're our residency pastors. I introduced them last week. And it's funny because we're sitting in a staff meeting and all of a sudden I just had a vivid memory back before there was Instagram. Pastor Matt was on Twitter, like praying for Justin Bieber, posting prayers and Selena Gomez and all these Hollywood celebrities and all these people. And he was always just loving on people from Hollywood. And then here he is, 10, 12, whatever years later, here in Fort Worth as a resident pastor for a year before he goes and moves to Hollywood to plant a church to go and love on the people in Hollywood. They weren't one-liners. It was the love of God. And I believe that those prophetic words and those prayers are waiting for him there in Hollywood. Your love is what's gonna reach people. Listen, if you want to grow in your ability to hear God, if you wanna grow in your ability in the prophetic, you have to love God, love people, and someone say, love mercy. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us to pursue love if we wanna prophesy. Pursue love, be passionate about it. Band, come and join me. Closing with 1 Kings. Chapter 3, verse 16, text I opened up with, says, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. And they argued their case. Two prostitutes had a baby, obviously out of wedlock. They were prostitutes. And one of them rolled on her son and killed her son in the middle of the night, or their baby. And then in the middle of the night, switched the babies, the dead baby, with the living baby. And the first mother that gave birth had 3 days to get to know her baby. And it was obvious when she woke up, this dead baby laying on me is not my baby. And they went to the king and they're arguing their case. And King Solomon, in all of his wisdom, says, we're gonna cut this child in half and you each get one. You each get a half of this baby. And the mother, who obviously wasn't the right mother, said, great. Because if my baby's dead, her baby could be dead. And the rightful mother said, no. Just let the baby live. I don't have to be its mother, but let it live. This wasn't even in my notes this morning. I got here in worship, but it just came up in my spirit. I said to the Lord, how did two prostitutes make their way before the king? Why does the king even care about the babies of a prostitute? How does that make it way to the royal courts? According to scripture, they should have been even stoned for being caught in that sin. I felt in my spirit the Lord was trying to prophesy something to us.
today that happened thousands of years ago. What do the two prostitutes have in common? What do these two babies have in common? That neither of them have a father. But when the mother that was the true rightful mother came across this baby, she said, I don't have to be the mother. I don't have to be the one to raise it. I don't have to be the one that is with it every day. It just has to live. It has to survive. I believe that this is a picture of prophecy. That many times we get a prophetic word, and it's ours, and we're protective over it because it's ours. How do you steward a true prophetic word? You give it back to God. It's always his and it's not yours. The mother said, if I let the baby live, if I even let the other mother be the mother, at least it will live. I don't even have to be a part of its life. But if I trust God with him, he's gonna live. How do you steward a prophetic word? You give it back to God and you trust him with it.
May 16th, 2019, I was in the sanctuary. I was pastoring an awesome church in a high school. My friend, Pastor Charlie Pryor, would let me in here to pray just about every week. And I'd pray for Mercy Culture, and I'd pray for Fort Worth. And I was kneeling right here at this altar, and I heard the Lord say, I'm gonna give you this place. And when he said it, it shook me. And I said, okay, Lord, then I give it back to you. And it'll never be mine. He'll always be yours. And then when we went on the 40-day fast, praying around this campus every single day, Lord, we give it to you. It will never be ours. It will always be yours. Every day, Lord, we give it to you. He'll never be ours. It will always be yours. Every day, 40 days in a row, it will never be ours. It will always be yours. And as I was walking around this property, I remember the Lord telling me, showing me, the same way you gave me this word, the same way you gave it back to me, is the same way that mother became the rightful mother of that prophetic word. Listen, when you are willing to give it back to God, that's when God will say, no, I'm going to make sure that the rightful word comes to the rightful servant. I'm going to make sure that you mother this word. I'm going to make sure that you steward this word. I'm going to make sure this word comes to pass, because you didn't take it from yourself. You gave it back to me. If we're going to be an apostolic prophetic church, a prophetic house, we must learn to steward prophetic words, to steward words from God and give it back to him. I'm closing with this. I'm going to read to you 14 prophetic words over Mercy Culture Church over the last few years. First one is, in 2020 was a year of altars, to make altars in your home. God gave it to us on May 25th in the elders retreat. In December 2019, he said, it's a season of miracles. Are you stewarding that prophetic word? Are you stewarding the altars in your home, church? In March 2020, the Lord said, don't stop tithing. Are you stewarding that word? He said, it's a year to thrive, not survive. Are you stewarding that word? He said, it's spiritually a season to invest. Are you stewarding that word? I heard the Lord say in April 2020, through Pastor Tom Lane, he said, the next season will be determined by systems and structures and strategies.
theology. Our team is stewarding that word right now. Pastor Heather said in May of last year, the hedge is here. Are you stewarding that provision, that word? When the enemy comes and tries to tell you that you're going to get sick and die, are you stewarding that word? There was a word in May of 2019 that prodigals would come home, that we would be a house of judgment, justice, that we would be a bridge church, that we would be a place of healing, that we would be a multi-generational, a multicultural church. Listen, when the enemy comes and tells you you're too old to be here, you need to respond with this word. When the enemy comes and tells you that you're not the right kind of person to be in this house, you need to steward this prophetic word. The Lord said this. He said that the songs would come. Pastor Zane, in February 2019, that is all you had to do is reach up and grab them. Oh. Sing the Lion of Judah. Because hope just reached up in the middle of service and stewarded that prophetic word. This worship team on a regular basis just reaches up and grab it. I don't think we're supposed to talk about it publicly yet, but we have a worship room that they're worshiping hours and hours a week in this sanctuary, just stewarding the presence of God, just reaching up and grabbing songs to bring it down. Diane Jackson prophesied in 2017 that we would redig the wells of revival that were here in this city. We are stewarding these prophetic words. Everybody get something to write with. If you're watching online, get something to write with right now. It could be your phone, it could be a tablet, everybody get something to write with. I want you to start right now. Start writing down what have been the words God has spoken over your life. Come on, go back to a child. Go back to your little kid. Go back to what your grandma spoke over you, what your granddaddy spoke over you right now. Come on, what words did you get as a child? As far back as you can go, maybe even before you were walking with God, but there was prophetic words over your life. I want you to start writing them down. We're going to end this service by worshiping and in the presence of God. I want you to begin to steward the words of God that are over your life. Father, we declare, we give every word back to you. We declare they're not our words, they're yours. We declare, Father, you are the Father of these words. Let us just mother them. Let us just steward them. Father, I thank you for the anointing that is on this house. Father, I declare that you've just begun to speak. I declare your servants are listening. Come on, write right now, church. Write them down.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.